Please enlighten me. You're not prescribing to the thought that you are dead inside anymore. What's the deal? You don't think you're dead inside?
I don't think I'm dead
I think
inside.
You're pretty dead inside.
Everyone says that. Why? I mean, why? Why am I dead inside?
You're just you're kind of steeped in the you know, in the 90s, the and maybe 80s music scene.
A little bit. My thing is that I would, and I was thinking about this recently, I would argue that that's actually less dead.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 107.
Woo!
It was now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden.
I am dangerous.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Man, we've got a veritable payload of awesome for you today, or this week, whenever you are listening. Thank you, by the way, for downloading the show or going to our website, www.air-raid.net, or there on cairoradio.com and mynorthwest.com. Thank you, wherever you're getting this show, for getting it. We've got, like I said, a great show. Before I spiraled into nonsensical, what do you call those? Plugs. Nonsensical plugs. Before I spiraled into that, I was telling you that we've got a great show. Let's see. Special friend over here.
Just an average guy with exceptional hair.
Thunder.
Hello, sir.
Also known as Camaro Kev, a man of many names.
Yeah.
Joining me here in Dining Room Studios. It's a little bit different. I'm not doing like a monologue for this episode, so it feels a little bit weird.
What would your monologue have been? If I was not here, what was it going to be
about?
Have
you been drinking?
A little bit.
Are you drunk?
I'm really tired, man. I was telling you, I mean, we were out kind of late last night.
Yeah, we did. We went out last night.
And I'm just tired, man. I had a long day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Went out to Bed Bath & Beyond, you know. There wasn't enough time.
Yeah, did you get some like pebbles to put in the shower or something?
Yeah, we got one of those bamboo plants that actually are sitting in glass marbles.
Right there.
Look,
right there, dude.
Beautiful.
That's an IKEA purchase.
Yeah. You just dump the water in there and let it go.
Yeah.
Let it do its thing.
I know. It just grows.
It just haphazardly kind of corkscrews up, and it's really beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Now, I was out knuckleheading around all day, so I'm really tired.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of back sweat. I was letting you know about that.
Yeah.
I walked up to the corner store to get us some delicious Rockstar.
Yeah. By the way, good with vodka.
Yeah. And who knew that walking a block when you're 35 years old and 220 plus.
But it's muggy.
And
it's muggy out. Don't sell yourself short here.
It's just a mess. Like I was telling you, from the top of my butt crack all the way to the back of my neck, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
So
you're usually just a mess.
So your monologue was going to be?
I didn't have one because I didn't even plan for one.
Do you usually plan for them? What do? Do you write them out, or do you just have an idea of like?
I just got an idea.
You're like, I'm going to talk about this happened this week. I'm going to talk about that or whatever.
Huh. Yeah, totally. Something that happens to me during the week, you know. And nothing happened to me this week. I've been too busy.
Come on.
Yeah. Nothing.
Hemorrhoids. Nothing.
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 Nothing. I did start a new diet. I went off the low carb diet. I've started now on Weight Watchers, so now I'm like counting points.
What was the choice on?
I just exhausted all the time, man. Like no carbs in your life.
Oh yeah, I can't.
You know,
you get
super tired. You get super tired.
I never eliminated.
That's not the healthiest diet.
No,
ever.
You know? I went off and on with that kind of a diet as well. You know, like watching the carbs or whatever. But I never really eliminated all the carbs. I couldn't do it.
Right. Well, see, we kind of run in the same group.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. Luke, you, me, Andy Hurst.
Yeah.
All went on kind of this low carb kick.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I believe
time.
It was called the slow carb is what.
Slow carb. But I didn't do the slow carb.
I never fully go. Never go fully carb.
Well, see, you have to read a book.
Fully low carb.
Fully.
Never go full tard.
Oh, boy.
Oh man, this
is a diet talk.
Yeah,
with Camaro Kev and Aaron. Well,
so you changed it up.
I changed it up. Yeah. So now I'm on the Weight Watchers thing, and let me tell you, man, the first couple weeks of Weight Watchers is hell.
Is it the pre-packaged bullshit that you're
getting? No. You can eat anything.
Is it just you?
But
log
you just
in?
Gotta count. You gotta got count it. Your points.
Got
right?
it. Yeah.
And I'm not doing it. I'm not paying for anything. I downloaded a free little app on my phone, and so I use that.
Got it.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's hell the first couple weeks because you really have to eat a lot less.
You know this right away. You're like, I'm maxed out. I'm done.
Yeah. Totally. You use up your points throughout the day, and just like, boy, at the end of the day, I'm a hungry man.
One chicken flauta at Safeway Heat Lamp, and that's like 80% of your daily allowance.
Oh,
right?
I love the. Oh my god, dude, those things are the best.
It's like
those chicken flautas.
Yeah,
is that how you say it?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Flautas.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
It's like a green chili paste product in the middle.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. It's salty.
Like, it tastes like cream cheese chicken and cheese or something like that.
I think you're confusing it with the actual Taco Time Chicken Crisp Burrito, where they actually have the cream cheese in there.
No, because those are even better. But the ones at Safeway...
Not bad.
Are pretty damn good.
Yeah, except if they're left in there too long and the ends look like...
I'll still eat it.
Yeah, I'll still eat it. I do too, but... Yeah. But get those things hot, fresh.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better.
Yeah.
Burn the roof right off your mouth.
Oh, man. Break it open and see what kind of steam rises out of there before you dive in. That's a... Because, too, the ends are also... The crusty ends are never that hot. So you're like...
No.
Like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so you bite into... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like battery acid leaking out. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I've derailed this... plenty, but
no, not at all.
So it's pretty tough counting that stuff, huh?
It is, you know, and it's you know, because when you're on a low carb thing, you can eat all you want as long as it's, you know, very low carb.
Sure.
So I was eating, you know, cheese and steak and eggs and stuff, and I would just go back and get some more if I was still hungry later on in the day. But now I can't do that because I'm counting points.
Mm-hmm.
Counting points, man.
You can eat.
How stupid does that sound? Not only am I on Weight Watchers, but I went and I bought two pairs of pants from Abercrombie and Fitch today.
Oh, God, love you.
That would have been my monologue.
Wow.
Right there, walking through the goddamn mall.
I used to get my pants, just my jeans from Abercrombie and Fitch way back, like probably.
See, I've never bought anything at Abercrombie and Fitch, and they don't have an Old Navy. I'm usually an Old Navy guy for jeans.
Yeah.
They don't have one here in our neighborhood or close to it. Anyway.
Right.
And, so I walked in there and I was like, look, I want to get in and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And so I just
said,
that was the nearest store.
Why didn't you go to the Gap?
I don't know.
The Gap is in there.
And it's Gap has good jeans, right?
Yeah, it's probably closer to what your Old Navy type jeans. Because I would assume the Abercrombie thing has like fake burn marks and like they're distressed.
I didn't get those.
I didn't even know they offered anything without distressing them first.
I did not get those.
Like I said, they offer a jean without distressing.
Yeah. I got some nice dark jeans. But so I was telling you this out on the back porch is that so I came home. I was very proud of myself for getting in and out of that mall in like a half an hour. I got a couple pairs of Vans.
You know,
new shoes.
Good for you. The gray ones?
Yep, got the gray ones. And then I got some lace-up, like, dark blue ones, too.
Oh, look at
that. Super hip. Super hip. But so I was super proud of myself, and then I come home, and I'm showing my wife my purchases, and I noticed that they didn't take
the stupid tag thing. They have that special gun.
Yeah, there's a special piece of equipment that you have to take off that thing. And if you try to go and cut that thing... You break it, and it breaks open this ink pack.
Yeah,
and goes all over your. So I was like, "Well, fuck, you know,
you go back.
Kick me while I'm down."
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to go back to the mall. So Mairead ended
up. I hate going there.
It just kills me every time.
Hate it
every time. Yeah. But I got a video game too, so that's good.
Never want to look anybody in the eyes while I'm at the mall.
I try not to.
Just look at the ground.
Especially the security guard, because it just makes me feel sad.
Yeah, right.
I saw one today, and they've got, you know, the security guards at malls are really, really strange because they try to make them look as much like a state patrol officer as
possible.
Yeah,
they strap all sorts of things
to them.
Yeah,
they don't have a gun,
belt.
But they've got 8 different sizes of flashlights. So, what?
Was that not the kid
crying? That was not the kid. That was, we've got the windows open right now, so must have been a kid out on the street.
Because the kid was going ballistic.
I've got this fancy little monitor right here. It's got a video feed on it.
You'll know.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear it. Okay. So, we're doing this late at night. My wife is, Mairead is out. It's her turn to kind of go out on the
gallivant.
Town.
She's out gallivanting.
So, it's just me and Camaro Kev just hanging out. And, like I said, at the start of the show, it's going to be a great show.
Okay, now let's really hone this thing in and get it on track.
It's going
to
be a great show because I've got a topic that I want to talk to you about.
I have no idea what this topic is.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
You don't know. Frankly, I don't know what it is either. But we'll figure it out.
Okay, so you don't have one.
We'll hold hands and we'll figure it out together. But a little bit later on in the show, I have an interview with hip hop magnate. From here in Seattle, Macklemore. And he's got some new stuff out, this song called Same Love, which came out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he's pretty much one of the first hip-hop artists, or rap artists, if you will, that has kind of come out in favor of supporting gay marriage.
Yeah. That's why I know this guy.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's been all over.
Name a song to save my life.
He's all over the media right now. And I mean, this guy is totally self-made, if you can believe it or not. Never signed to any record contract, anything like that. And I mean, it's just super impressive what he's been able to do because he, especially here in Seattle, he sells out arenas here in Seattle. And this guy, he's done it all by himself. He and this other guy, Ryan Lewis. So we've got an interview with him coming up a little bit later in the show, and we will be featuring music today by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So you'll just listen to it, right?
Yeah. I'm listening.
Maybe you should drink more of that. Rock star.
I thought it sounded like you were ramping up to a break or a music break or something.
No.
Oh, you weren't
not at all.
Okay,
it's not time yet.
What's the deal?
Got about
here?
Five more minutes.
Let me. I think this rock star is finally hitting me.
Is it coming into you?
I think it is
right now.
So are we going to go where we're going to take this thing and then you're going to play the interview?
No.
Or how are we doing this?
No. We're gonna talk for another 5 minutes.
Okay.
Here and then we're gonna take a break. Then we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about my topic.
Okay.
That I have to talk to you about.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to the interview. Is that okay?
Sounds great. Like I said, I thought you were ramping up.
My show, dude. My show. This is the producer in you that's kind of shining through right now.
Well, I've watched hosts many times throughout my career, and it sounded to me like you were, you know, ramping down to go to a break. So,
because that's how professional I am, right?
I was shutting up to let you do your thing. So where are we going here? Where are we going next? Let's do this.
We went out last night.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I was on your show, Stack of Dimes.
That should be out. It should be out later this week. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah.
When does this come out?
This is going to come out tomorrow.
So probably
tomorrow is Sunday. We're recording this Saturday night.
Probably our first show will be Monday. I guess it'll probably drop.
Okay.
That we recorded. So
yeah. I was lucky enough to make it down there just in time to do both shows.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call that lucky.
No, man. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love going down to Como to Fisher Studios and recording that stuff. I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
But this is like the second show that I've been on in a week. Because I'm also featured on a couple of the MacGuffin podcasts.
I told you, you're a real podcast whore.
I am, man.
Yeah.
I'm just whoring myself out.
You really are.
Yeah. I even sent an email to Marco Collins.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the, he's been on this show before.
I know he is.
Yeah.
He used to be on The End way back when.
Right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
DJ.
Yes, I know that too.
For being on The End. And anyway, I sent him an email. I was like, hey, do you still want me to come on your show? Because I really want to.
What did he say?
He never got back to me.
He's doing the Emerald City, whatever.
Jet City Stream down there in the new Tully's
Georgetown
building.
Right?
Yeah, the old Rainier Brewery.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's out of there?
Yeah.
Really?
It's pretty rad.
It's a pretty big place.
It's a huge place. Well, that place, I mean,
I know the rent building.
It's not the whole, they don't
it's
have the whole
a,
building.
It's like a
course,
floor or a portion of it or something.
Well, they sell out, they sell studios. They rent studios in that place now for musicians and artists and stuff like that. And so I think they just rented out maybe, you know, five or six of these studios and kind of connected them all into each other. But So I'm a little bit of a media whore right now.
So you heard nothing back though. He doesn't care to have you on.
Apparently not. Apparently not. But we're still hoping to get him back on this show for part two of that episode because it was super, super interesting.
Yeah, and, I remember, man, back in the day, The End was the thing to listen to.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Yeah, you're from the area too.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you remember when it came out?
I think we talked about this before, or maybe I listened to your, I know we've talked about this off air.
Yeah, we have.
But I listened to part of that interview with Marco.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't remember when it first launched. I just remember what a big deal it was when it finally launched.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was a good radio station when it started.
Now all they play is STP, Sublime, and Red Hot Chili Peppers on rotation.
I am so. By the way, we went to Spectator last night.
I heard Danny California twice today. I just want to.
What
shoot
the hell is
myself.
That? What's
That's,
that?
It's a Red Hot Chili Peppers
song.
Oh
God!
That if
yeah,
you play
I know,
it,
I know what it's.
If you play it side by side with Last Dance with Mary Jane,
same song,
produced by the same guy. So really? When it starts, yeah. So when it starts,
that's ballsy, man.
So when it starts, that's why I know because there's like a you know one of those, it's not a meme, but it was one of those things that came out on the internet was like, hey, look at how similar these songs are.
And yeah,
then,
yeah.
And then I you know went into some sort of history behind it, and it's like the same producer, or whatever.
Right.
I heard that thing twice today. I just want to put a bullet in my head.
You know, there's some
terrible.
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers, in my mind, haven't really done well since Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I don't think so. You know, this is a good spot to take our first musical break. We're going to be
is
featuring.
Is that the kid crying?
That is the kid crying.
That
That's why we're
crying.
Taking our first musical
Is that
break.
Why you're just bailing out? You don't even want to just say, hey, the kid's crying. I'm going to take off for a second.
No, see? Fake radio magic.
Yeah.
Fake radio magic.
The listener knows what's going on.
They can probably hear it.
Yeah.
They can probably hear it. Yeah, we got to take a musical break here so I can rock my child back to sleep. This song is called Same Love. This is the one we were talking about by Macklemore. You can find out more about Macklemore at macklemore.com. Go and check that out. And when we get back, we're going to be talking with Thunder, Camaro Kev, Kevin.
Yeah.
Of the Stack of Dimes podcast about who he was in high school. What kind of person were you in high school? Think about that. Okay, this is Same Love by Macklemore. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us,
stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. I don't know.
And I can't change. Even if I tried. Even if I wanted to.
Was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself.
When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it.
Yeah. We'll get into that in just a second. Okay. We are back, everybody. Welcome back to Dining Room Studios here, high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle. Joining us here in Dining Room Studios is Camaro Kev from the Stack of Dimes podcast.
Hello. That
Welcome
Macklemore
back,
thing, that deal that you did there.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I just Fantastic. Told you I'm just in...
You're just
fan.
Dead. You're dead inside.
I'm a
dude.
New fan. I'm gonna
so,
do karaoke.
Okay, please enlighten me. You're not prescribing to the thought that you are dead inside anymore. What's the deal? You don't think you're dead inside?
I don't think I'm dead.
I think
inside.
You're pretty dead inside.
Everyone says that. Why? I mean, why? Why am I
don't
dead
know.
Inside?
You're kind of steeped in the you know, in the 90s, the and maybe 80s music scene?
A little bit. My thing is that I would, and I was thinking about this recently, I would argue that that's actually less dead because I'm willing to go back.
You're living in the past, man.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of good music that went kind of unnoticed exists in the past. Like, for instance, that's
definitely true.
Like I've talked before on here, I'm a big Zapp and Roger fan, mm-hmm, Roger mm-hmm. Troutman. I like a lot of 70s and
you introduced me to them, by the way.
70s and early 80s funk.
Yeah,
and growing up in Lake Stevens, a kid of the 90s, I wasn't exposed to that. And later on, when like, you know, hip hop sampled, you know, Snoop Dogg would sample P-Funk and Parliament Funkadelic and all
right,
that
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
And then
Nas. Wait, was it Nas?
I'm sure he probably did too.
Well, No. It wasn't Nas. Who sampled Keep Forgetting by Michael McDonald?
Oh, that was
Warren G.
It was Warren G. Was it the Dog Pound? I think it was the Dog Pound.
Dog Pound.
Speaking of back in the day,
this is one thing that's always kind of perplexed me about you, Thunder.
What?
Camaro Kev. Is that I can't place who you... I'm a pretty good judge of who a person is. Right, I think you probably are as well.
I don't know.
I think everybody works in radio. You can spot a troglodyte.
Well,
I think a reprobate.
Everybody thinks
like
that
say.
They're a good judge of like, I'm just not sure about her new boyfriend. I'm really good at judging people.
Well, when somebody says that, that's because they're in love with the girl.
right.
You know,
but
jealous.
I'm a good judge
they're
of character.
Jealous.
There's
yeah,
just
yeah.
something about him I don't like. You know.
No.
Like
I think
that. I'm not saying you're saying that, but
yeah, I'm not saying like judge of character. I'm saying I can kind of spot who a person was when they were younger, right? Now you're like a Rubik's cube. To me.
No,
seriously.
No. Why?
Because first of all, you know, you're kind of a guy's guy, I would say.
Really?
You're into MMA, you know, you're into Def Leppard.
Yeah, but
escaping my mind right
Van
now.
Halen?
Van Halen. God.
But I mean,
damn.
I do
Why
it,
can I think
I
of that?
Do it with a little bit of an ironic
well, it's a little
understanding
bit
of but, how terrible it really
still,
is.
But still, you
know?
They call you Camaro Kev because you used to own a Camaro
right.
a Camaro T-top.
I wrote 85 Z28 was the first car I owned.
But here's what throws me for a loop is that you and JD used to do movies in high school. By yourselves,
I'm gonna really
on your own.
Yeah. I'm gonna really break this down. Is kind of how it went.
Okay.
And I think
let me set it up for a second.
God, because, this is going to be boring to anybody listening to this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah,
gives
yeah.
a fuck nobody's, about nobody's these
listening.
Assholes?
Nobody's listening. Yeah. They're all fast-forwarding to the Macklemore,
right, exactly.
the Macklemore so, section of the show.
Okay, so go ahead. Shoot.
Okay, so the thing that throws me is because the guys that I knew that made like movies in high school and in junior high, they were always kind of the more,
dorks.
You know, the dorkier guys, yeah. you know? I always, you know, I never had a problem with them. I liked them. I was kind of a floater. Like I would go from group to group to group.
Yeah.
I was a chameleon. I realized this. I came to this realization yesterday. This is why I wanted to talk about this because okay. there's a lot of shows right now, that have kind of been going back to like high school days. A lot of people have been talking about high school. I don't know what it is.
It's just, you mean like, other
a lot of
podcasts
people,
or just,
yeah, other podcasts and radio right. shows.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Just, heard
Think
a lot
of the summer
about
that
nostalgia.
Happens.
Yeah, it does a little bit. People are like, you know, remembering
yeah,
when they had all that time when they were younger.
Right now, in my hometown,
yeah.
Lake Stevens, it's Aquafest is going on this weekend.
Oh, Aquafest.
And that was a
yep.
big deal
yeah.
When you hit 21, because then you could go to the beer gardens.
Yeah.
And it was it was like a big class reunion. So that's
right,
going
right.
on right
Everybody
now,
was
so.
There. Viking Fest is the same in Paulsbo, kind of in the same area.
If you
that
grew
I was
up in
at.
A small town, there was always that.
Yeah. yeah.
You know,
Indianola days.
Yeah.
That's my hometown.
So I think that's what it is. I think summer, you a lot
it
of things
It brings
that like
out.
That
it brings that out, yeah. Because
yeah.
those are the times of your life, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about it, and I realized yesterday that I was a chameleon. I would float from group to group to group, you know, maybe every, I don't know, 6 months or something. Like, maybe I would, you're aware of this. When I first become friends with somebody and I get along with them a lot, I'm a little bit OCD. I need to be around people all the time.
Yeah.
I will blow your phone up. I will call you constantly.
I didn't get a sense that it was.
Maybe we're like, too similar.
Over the top or anything like that.
No, I was holding back.
I'm a guy who still likes to talk on the phone. A lot of people are.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me
and
too.
So I'm like, me and you, like when you call, we usually have a pretty good 15, 20 minute conversation. Whatever.
Yeah, sometimes
Catching
30. Sometimes 30.
One of us has to end up
every
going,
time,
hey, dude, I got to get out of here. I got to do something. So
I'll tell you, every time I get off the phone with you and Mairead's in the same room or something, she'd be like, how's your boyfriend?
That's funny. So what do you want to know? What was I like?
Well, okay. So what throws me for the loop is that you used to make these movies, which is what's more of like a dorky thing. You used to tuck your shirts in. The first episode that we did, had Stack of Dimes here on Air Raid Podcast.
Yeah.
We talked about how you guys used to tuck your shirts in with a belt.
I like the braided belt.
The braided belt.
Because, no matter how fat you got or how thin you got.
You could still, there was no holes.
Still, there's
you
no
just
holes.
Put it through the braid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So who were you? Who were you in high school?
God, it's, I would say in elementary school, you know how it is, you find your crews or whatever. And
you're
the popular. I was kind of like you. I was kind of like a floater.
You were friends with everybody?
I was kind of friends with everybody, and I hung around with the popular guys. But then when I got into middle school, because the way it worked, I don't know how most places, but the way it worked in there was three elementary schools,
mm-hmm.
one, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade. And
Then
you did seventh and eighth junior high, and then you went on to high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But getting into seventh grade was a big deal because all the schools came together.
Oh,
so you had the guys that played Little League Baseball knew the guys from Sunnycrest, knew the guys from Hillcrest from
right.
because they played Little League Baseball. I wasn't into like sports so much. I did basketball in mm-hmm. sixth grade. I was mm-hmm. terrible. But so then when we got into seventh grade, a lot of the cool guys from all the schools got together. They were jocks, started playing football. And I wasn't a jock.
Right.
I wrestled in seventh and eighth grade. I played basketball in eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
I was okay at either one. I could hold my own. I wasn't great.
Yeah. I played basketball. I played AAA. It wasn't for the school, but I played basketball. I made 9 points that whole season, all of them free throws.
Really?
Yeah.
I was very nervous.
I pulled fouls.
I was very nervous when I got out there and played.
Oh,
play.
Me too. Me too.
And that's
even forgot plays. Like, I forgot. I was so nervous I forgot plays.
Plays were beyond me in basketball. Yeah. I was so nervous out there.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't remember them.
Just so self-conscious of what I looked like.
Terrible.
And how, you know what I mean? So I was pretty insecure. And me and I've known JD since the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been, probably I would say like...
Was he a sporty guy?
He played, not really. I think he played like soccer, and he wrestled in seventh grade. I don't know if he. And I would succumb to peer pressure.
Oh.
Like I wrestled because most of the guys I was hanging out with were wrestling. So I was like, well, I got to wrestle because they're wrestling. And it wasn't anything like I really wanted to do it. I was just like, they're doing it, so I better do it. You know? And so I would succumb to peer pressure. John was, JD was a, you know, his family, they were pretty well off. They lived in the lake. So he did a lot of water sports.
A lot of your movies were filmed there.
Yeah, exactly.
In the hallways of the.
He did a lot of jet skiing, wakeboarding, and he had neighbors on the lake that all kind of did that same thing. They kind of all wakeboard and all that stuff. So he had kind of, in seventh grade, he had his own crew, and I kind of had my own crew. And then we got into high school. And then that's when shit starts changing. People start doing drugs and partying and all that stuff. And it was awkward for me because I was a pretty good kid as far as like I was pretty afraid to party. Like I was afraid to get wasted. I was afraid to experiment with drugs because I didn't want to lose control. I had a close friend that I've known since the fourth grade who was going into that druggy scene when we hit about sophomore year. And I was really good friends with him. And in fact, when I think the same thing started happening for JD. The guys he was hanging out with were kind of going more into the party scene. And some of the guys I was hanging out with were more
into the
party
scene. Well, that's
the
thing, too, is like, you know, the jocks usually go into, like, the beer drinking.
Right.
You know, they party a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kind of the, you know, the other side, which was the side I was on, go towards, you know, what can I do other than beer?
Yeah,
like, I'll still drink, but I want to take it further than that.
I want to,
You know?
And there's
I'm not afraid of the consequences right now.
The meatheads were about, you know, playing sports, getting drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know,
hanging out,
being loud and making fun of guys and hanging out in hot
tubs. Yeah.
The other side, the partiers, were more artistic. Maybe they're into music. Maybe they were more creative, and then they would go and experiment with these drugs or whatever. I really didn't have a problem with either one. The problem I had was you get a lot of peer pressure.
Because you were kind of, like you said, you're kind of the chameleon too. So you going from group to group. And
my buddy that was going more to the druggy side, I could hang out with those guys.
Yeah.
And they would ask me, hey, dude, take a hit of this or whatever. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Have you ever smoked marijuana?
I've never smoked marijuana.
I've never
I've never done any drugs. Actually, that's a lie. I tried that spice stuff or whatever it is.
Yeah.
A few years back because I was wasted and someone,
Jesus.
But,
give you a headache.
Yeah. It was not a good thing. And so JD, we kind of gravitated towards each other because his buddies were partying.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy was partying or whatever. And I had a problem with kind of the coaches. I got a sense like, God, these guys that are coaches, these adults at my school are kind of dickbags.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this was a big turning point in my high school career was I was wrestling in seventh and eighth grade. I didn't like it, but I liked basketball. And I got my freshman year, I didn't make the freshman team. I missed two of the tryouts. Got one day of tryouts. And I did good. And the coach was just like, I can't.
Because you were too busy making movies.
No, we weren't making movies at that point. But here's the guy that coached wrestling, and Lake Stevens was a big wrestling school.
I remember this.
Huge deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you guys would come over to North Kitsap, too. North Kitsap was kind of a wrestling, you know, we had a big wrestling team.
Sure.
As well.
I mean, if you say so, I'll take your word for it. But the coach. I had him for a PE teacher, and he was constantly writing me going, Dodger, what are you doing? Are you gonna wrestle? I said, no, I'm going to try out for basketball. Didn't make it. And he goes, how's that basketball thing going? Because they were at the same season. He was like, you're a pretty decent wrestler. You should. And I was like, I said, I don't know, man. I think I'm just going to. We had like this local I don't know what it was called, but it was like it was not part of the school, but you could go and play basketball. For the guys that didn't make it, for the guys that just want to keep their game sharp, whatever. I said, I think I'm going to go do basketball.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you got to figure it out, man. You got to do something. Like, totally went Jocko on me. Like, you're going to be a loser if you don't do this. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you. My thought was like, you're a goddamn adult. You're putting some sort of mind trip on me. I'm like 16 years old or 15
years
old.
Well, it's like that. I mean, that's a classic example of somebody that never got over who they were in high school, right?
Right. And I just thought, man, you know, you're really going to tell me that? Like, you're a fucking grown man. What, you know, like,
Yeah.
First of all,
I constantly, that just made me think of something. Like, I constantly live my life, like, I have an extremely good memory.
Yeah.
Right? I remember almost every interaction that I've ever had. I don't know if it's, you know, and I'm not bragging about this because, you know, I never did very well in school because I always thought it was cool to be stupid.
Right. I know. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I played the dumb part in high school.
Sure.
And didn't give a shit about anything. My GPA was crap.
I was kind of similar in that, aspect.
It was terrible. And now that I look back on that, I did some really dumb shit.
Right.
Just to play this part where I was the dumb kid, but I thought it was cool.
Right.
And now that I look back on it, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I can look back at interactions that I had, like almost like it's a movie.
And
be like, cringe. Oh, that person was, you know, was totally not into that. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've just been going through that whole nostalgia thing. Every day something jogs my memory about some sort of interaction I had while I was in high school or even elementary school. And I'm just like, you fucking idiot. But nobody remembers that except for me.
Well,
so I'm stuck with just these memories that make me embarrassed.
Right.
You know, I'll just be sitting in the car
and
like,
you're just
shit.
You just,
yeah,
cringe,
I'll just be like, ah, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And before I had my license, I was riding the school bus. JD did not ride the school bus. He had a neighbor who was an older guy who would always give him a ride.
Son of a bitch, yeah.
Well, I think this guy graduated, and he had to start riding the bus again. And that's when we started talking. And we would crack each other up on the bus.
Right, right.
And then the guy that was going kind of the druggier side of things, he was always one of these kids that would get things like his mom got a video camera, got him a video camera.
Yeah,
and me and him would fuck around with it and make like...
Divorced parents?
No, not at the time.
Just rich.
No. They weren't rich. They were decent off. I mean, but he would always get like, you know, a video, you know, whatever the huge video game system was. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He had all these toys, right?
He had the TurboGrafx-16,
he had this
didn't
shitty
he?
Little... No, he didn't. I did. He had this little shitty thing called the PXL2000. It was a black and white camera. I don't know if you remember this.
Is this the Casio? That used to use cassette tapes?
It was a Fisher-Price. It used cassette tapes,
yeah. Okay, there you go.
And he got this thing, and
Casio had one, too.
I was blown away. I was like, this is amazing. Let's make movies.
Yeah.
He's a very creative guy. I was going to be a comic book artist, all this shit, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is incredible. We can make movies. This is incredible.
I remember when those things came out. It was just mind-blowing.
And he was one of those kids that would get something and then go, oh, yeah, this is awesome for the first week, and then you just put it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd come over and go like, dude, let's play.
Because they were constantly getting cool shit all the time.
They didn't care.
Yeah.
And so I go, let's make a movie.
Fuck,
and he's
those
like,
guys.
No, man, I don't want to make a movie. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you got this thing. Let's do it. Then they got a real camera that was like you could shoot on VHS or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You could put this in VCRs and color. It's amazing. And so then that was fun for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Made some movies. So at the same time, we all kind of started hanging out in the bus. And I was big into like these action movies, and John was big into it. We were all big into like Van Damme and Seagal were coming out. And we're like, all these martial arts movies. And then I was like, I want to take kickboxing. And John was a go getter. JD's a guy that's like, yeah, let's do it. And so then we started kickboxing together. So we had this knit group, me, JD, and this other kid.
Yeah.
But he was going more into the party shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So JD, well off, his parents have a camera. They got a Sony like waterproof camera.
Uh-huh.
And me and him just started making these movies to crack each other up, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody got into partying, and there was a lot of peer pressure to party or whatever. And I was always like, and he was like, I'm not into that scene. I'm like, I'm not into that scene. And so we both just kind of did our own thing. And we had friends, and I could go to the parties, and no one would give me shit.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of the jocks. They wouldn't give me shit. Some of them would. I was an asshole to a lot of some of the geeks.
Yeah.
You know, I was a mid-level. I was kind of a wise ass. Senior year, the teachers voted me. I was second to class clown. One guy beat me out, but the teachers.
Yeah.
And I never thought I was class clown. I mean, I would say some snide things, make people laugh or whatever, but I wasn't like,
right.
I wasn't up like, hey, putting whoopee cushions up and the teacher, you know, but so, I was kind of a floater like you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And maybe that's why we get along so well.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then of course, senior year, I did find the booze. went up to Western Washington. My friend Matt, his sister, got drunk for the first time. And then
and you were like, your world changed.
Yeah. Right. From 18 on.
Right there.
I boozed it up pretty good. I'm still doing it to this day. And I do subscribe to the theory that a lot of guys who started early,
mm-hmm.
later on in life, are kind of done with it. Yeah. Whereas I started late, I'm still
you're at the peak.
Oh, that's terrible.
You're at the peak right now.
So there you
go. That's why we end up hungover together on a Saturday night recording a podcast. Yeah.
So there you go. The long, drawn out, boring thing that is the social scene of your awkward teen years. And I think
That's perfect because this is a long and drawn out series. The Air Raid podcast.
So does that satisfy you?
It does. Yeah. That explains a lot. Maybe someday I'll go into my own story too. Who knows?
I thought that maybe I was going to coax it out of you a little bit.
Well, we're kind of running out of time here.
I know. So we've got like 30 movies that me and GAD have made over the years.
There's 30?
There's like 30 movies.
I've probably seen
20 or 30.
I've only seen two.
Just made to crack us up, to crack our friends up. That's what it ended up being, was like we'd have these nights where, hey, we just finished a new movie and all of our friends would come over and it was just a bust on it. And that was the whole deal. It was just making other people laugh.
Yeah.
That's all that it was.
Oh, that's great.
And we were into movies. And so that's why I went into film school and we're going to be directors and all this shit. But,
So that's cool, man. That's cool. That's a good story.
It's not really
good
cool. Story. Let's go get blackout wasted now.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. We're going to go to our second musical break here by Macklemore. This song is called Victory Lap. Of course, you can find Macklemore at macklemore.com, and he's got a bunch of shows coming up. They're releasing their next album, him and Ryan Lewis. It's called The Heist, and they're going to be playing a show here pretty soon at WAMU Theater, and you should get your tickets now. It's the show's in October, but boy, man, that thing's going to sell out. And, of course, boy, this is rare form right now, isn't it? I'm not prepared. Right. Rare form. Let's see. It's October. October 12th, WAMU Theater here in Seattle, Washington. They're doing a whole world tour. They've got a lot of dates. So go to macklemore.com and go check this out. This is Victory Lap, and when we get back, we're going to be talking with Macklemore, Ben Haggerty, about his life, about how he got started, why he hasn't signed a record contract. It's super, super interesting. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This is Victory Lap by Macklemore. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us, please. Got a job making barely minimum wage. Digging into that page. Hit the road with RL, performing in front of 8 people. That shit will check your ego. I bet around that time I'm watching our EP go. From nothing to getting us booked around the country. I know no limits, life can change in an instant. 8 people turning to sold out shows in a minute. Now watching my pops in the back row grinning with his glass up to my mom toasting his Guinness. And we on, good music get lost in the ambiance. One day we'll leave here, but these words live on. Till then, we keep on making these songs. So put them up. I remember that freshman edition last year, thinking to myself, like, yeah, nah, I won't win it, yeah, I probably won't get it, but I'm gonna give it everything, play my position. All right, joining me now on the line is Ben Haggerty, better known as Macklemore here in Seattle. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Are you enjoying the sunshine today?
You know what? I'm inside with my girlfriend. I need to get outside and enjoy the sunshine.
And now you're talking to me on the phone.
It's all in a day's work.
That's right. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for calling into the Air Raid podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know that you're an extremely busy man these days, especially with this new single that you guys just put out, you and Ryan Lewis, Same Love. and you've been getting getting a lot of what do you call it? A lot of play on that one.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how are things going, man? With this song and the new record coming out, you guys are definitely staying busy, right?
Yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. You know, there's the last 6 months have been pretty much solely devoted to just being in the studio. So it's nice to finally put out one of our songs in the album and get the response that it got. And to see people excited. Not only for our album and for the tour, but just what Same Love stands for. And been a really cool reaction.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's a wonderful song. It brought tears to my eyes a little bit when I first heard it. And
wow.
Let's start there. Where did you come up with the concept for this song?
Well, I knew that I wanted to write a song revolving around gay rights and homophobia, and it really came from my mom sent me a link to a newspaper where I covered a kid that was shot himself, committed suicide over kids bullying him. And, it just really hit me. And, having a background of being a Catholic and also obviously a member of the hip hop community for the last 15 years of my life, both of those communities are known as, and have homophobia in the communities.
Right.
So I started writing it from the perspective of like a gay bullied kid and realized it really wasn't my story to tell after talking to Ryan about it.
Uh-huh.
And, I spent about a week and took a week break, came back to it kind of with a fresh perspective. And, the song really just wrote itself. It talks about me growing up as a kid and my own kind of premonition of thinking I was gay because I was good at art and I cared what my hair looked like and my uncles were gay and kind of evolving into just talking about, gay rights and the human rights issue that it is in 2012.
Yeah,
and it's a very important time in history, I believe. And this is kind of...
Hello? Hello? Shit. Hello?
Aaron.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. So you're saying this is you left there with this is kind of an important time in history.
Yeah, I think that not only with referendum 74 up on the ballot this November to pass same sex marriage in Washington, but just in terms of kind of a cosmic shift and an awareness and an acceptance of all people.
Yeah.
Particularly, those that have been discriminated against because of their sexual orientation. So
Right.
It seemed like I wanted to write the song. It was just a matter of how to address it, and I just did it in the most personal way possible.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. And you should be very, very proud of the product. Definitely. So have you heard any backlash on this? I mean, has there been any bad press from like, I don't know, fans that you have around the world?
For every, couple thousand people that respond, you're going to get a person in there that, hides behind an internet alias name and uses the F word and, makes some derogatory comments. But, for the most part, it's all been really positive. There was one hip hop blog in particular that I saw a lot of, a lot of that type of language, but, it's for a lot of people, it's something that's new. And what the song has really opened my eyes to is not judging those people that have those type of feelings against gay people, because it just comes from something else. People aren't born hating gay people. They're not born hating anyone.
Yeah.
And it comes, it's a learned behavior. It's a learned way of judging people. And,
right. So kind of like hate the player, not the, or hate the game, not the player.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's something that hopefully this song can create dialogue and can, you know, for people that it wasn't really an issue, but they maybe not didn't know how they stood, hopefully they can examine it a little bit more.
Right,
for the people that are already, you know, believe in equal rights for all humans, it can hopefully be a song that really speaks to them and something to rally behind them. For those that feel completely opposite, you know, it's just one other perspective from the other side, and hopefully it results in them being a little bit more open-minded.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. I like where you're going. So let's talk a little bit about, 'cause this is one thing that's always interested me personally, is that you've gotten to where you are now by yourself, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with the help of the hip hop community here in Seattle and some of the press that has really glommed onto your style. Do you have to kind of pinch yourself every morning when you wake up? Because, your success, especially here in Seattle, I don't know what it's like for you in the rest of the country, but your success here alone is just unprecedented.
Yeah, it's you know, it's been a lot of hard work. It hasn't felt like it's overnight by any means. So
I think that the
longer that, you know, you go on and you work for something, the less it's like it feels like this like crazy immediate polarizing success story. But at the same time, I'm extremely grateful. And, you know, in the midst of working 16-hour days with Ryan Lewis the past 6 months and, you know, just sacrificing pretty much everything for the art, there are moments where you kind of sit back and you're like, wow, this is really incredible what's happening. And you just want to be excited. You want to keep that excitement. You want to keep that sense of gratitude.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that leads into something that I wanted to ask you too, is how do you, because you always seem like you have a pretty good head on your shoulders. You don't let your ego get the best of you. You know, I've seen many interviews with you and read many interviews that have included you in them. And, you know, you always seem like you got a good head on your shoulders. Have you found it hard to kind of keep that level-headedness?
You know what? I really haven't. You know, I think it was harder for me when I was younger, even though I didn't reach even close to the level of success that I have now.
Yeah.
It was harder when I first started experiencing people acknowledging my art and my music and coming to shows.
Uh-huh.
Again, we're talking about hundreds of people versus, you know, thousands.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. It's all relative. And I think that what it did, kind of stretching out, like getting to where I'm at now over the last like seven years, is that, you know, you grow accustomed to it and you realize that this art is not me. It comes from something greater than myself. And the minute that I start taking credit for it and thinking that I'm some, you know, amazing person is when I realize I'm not fulfilled, I'm not happy, and I'm not grateful for anything that comes. So,
right.
You know, I don't take it, I just don't take it to the head, and I surround myself with people that remind me, you know, how lucky I am and how, and to be grateful. And even just the community, I think that what I'm probably the most proud of is what I've done for Seattle in terms of national exposure on a hip hop level.
Right.
And
right.
I view that as a success for Seattle. Just as much, if not more, as a success for myself.
Right on. Right on, man. Do you travel with an entourage?
Yeah, a small entourage. You know, my girlfriend is the tour manager. Ryan
Excellent.
Lewis, obviously, you know, is my producer and DJ.
Yeah.
Or Runga on the trumpet. And then my manager, Zach Quillen, accompanies us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where is he located? I've been emailing back and forth with Zach for quite a while now.
Zach is in North Seattle.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, he lived in New York for the last 10 years, and he moved out here to be close to the project.
Gotcha. And now, are you his only client then?
Yeah, he's a booking agent. So
right.
He's the booking agent for Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller and Yellow Wolf. And And Big Thread and a lot of different people.
Wow. So you must have, I mean, I've, I guess that you must have like a lot of labels that are constantly knocking at your door, right?
Yeah, a lot of labels.
Now, how enticing is that? Are those offers and how hard is it to turn some of these down? Because you're still doing this all by yourself, right?
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't that difficult. You know, we got a lot of meals with label people and mm-hmm. went to a lot of offices and kind of realized that for where we're at, it just doesn't make sense. And I'm not completely opposed to it in the future, but as of right now, it doesn't make sense, you know.
What do you mean by that?
We met some good people, and we had some good steak dinners and, you know, learned some things. So it's definitely not time wasted.
Right, right. So, I mean, what do you mean by where you're at now? Because it seems like you'd be in a pretty good position to make a good deal right now.
Yeah, you know, I think that major labels, what they still have is radio power.
Right, right, yeah.
And, you know, we have a couple songs that might work on radio, but I'm not trying to tailor my music to work for radio. This is not what I'm interested in.
Right.
You know, I think that if I was really trying to do that, and who knows, maybe there's a day that that's, you know, a new venture for me, and I'm excited by the prospect of making radio songs.
Yeah.
But as of right now, you know, it's just not the type of music that I make. So there's no reason to sign to a major label. Obviously, like, you know, having, you know, $1 million or something from a major label or more than that would be cool to, like, spend a bunch of money on my art. But that just has to get paid back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we're in a position, luckily, that, like, we've saved a bit of money and we have enough to, you know, put out our record ourselves and not do it to the extent that probably a major label could put it out. We're going to miss it on some opportunities because of it. But at the same time, like, you know, our touring is very strong. Our merchandise is very strong. And the fans really support our music. So I don't want to lose that kind of fan-to-fan interaction that we have, or artist-to-fan interaction that we have.
Right,
and I think
right.
that you lose a little bit of that with a major label.
Well, and definitely just like, and you know, you sound like a guy who doesn't base a lot of things on like street cred, so to speak, but it sounds like, you know, I mean, you might lose some street cred, quote unquote.
If you
go with the label, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use the word street cred. I know what you
right,
mean.
Right.
I would use probably the word, you know, just integrity with your fan base.
Yeah, yeah.
If we've gotten this far without it, and if I've talked about it on records before, if we were to sign right now, I think there would be people that would be disappointed. I'm not worried about disappointing people. I just want to make the best art and get it to the masses the way that I want to do it, you
right.
know? And,
without having other people's fingers in it.
Yeah, without having a middleman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that. That's I just always dream of just being a millionaire. So that's where
yeah.
my mind always goes.
Well, I do too, and you know, I don't think that signing a major label contract is that. It might be the quickest way to that, but I don't think
yeah.
that the longevity is there.
Yeah. So how do you guys do with sales?
In terms of CD sales?
Yeah, CDs or, you know, just iTunes and things like that, you guys do pretty well?
Yeah, iTunes is great.
Uh-huh.
You know, we do really well on iTunes. Same level right now is, I believe, you know, in the top 25 on the singles hip-hop charts.
Yeah, I
iTunes,
saw that, man.
Which is the closest that we've got to number one.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, we'll see how the record does, but... I know that we have fans that support and are down to buy the art that we put
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a weird thing too, man. Because like, you know, we've been in the iTunes top 200 charts for podcasts many times, and one
mm-hmm.
time we made it up to into the 60s, right, out of the top 200 in the nation, and it was just
wow.
it was just like, you know, it's such a cool thing, but it's so. You don't know where it comes from, right? Because like the whole iTunes thing is like, well, how do they calculate this and all that stuff? I don't know, but it's definitely becoming more and more of a real thing, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Ben Haggerty, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me for a little bit. And if ever you and Ryan would like to come on the show, you know, doors always open, man.
Definitely, I appreciate it. Are you guys based in Seattle?
Yeah, we're up. We're in Greenwood. We record out of my dining room.
Awesome. Well, yeah. you should come to the show on October 12th.
And
at the WAMU Theater.
That's WAMU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what kind of your CD release?
Yeah, it's my CD release for sure.
Excellent. So, and then world tour starting after that, or is that before this?
That's kind of the beginning of the world tour.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, man. And excited to go?
Absolutely.
Going to some places that you haven't been before?
Yeah, definitely. We're going all over Europe. And, I guess Europe's before October 12th.
But, oh, okay.
You know, we're going to Australia and New Zealand after the U.S. portion and playing a bunch of new places in the U.S. So completely excited.
Oh, wonderful, man. Wonderful. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck and you know, keep doing what you're doing.
Definitely. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Ben.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it, folks. There's our conversation with Macklemore, Ben Haggerty. Such a nice dude, man. And this one, I don't get very nervous for interviews anymore. We interviewed Bob Saget the other day.
Well, he's been in your living room for so many years, you just think you know him as Danny
right,
Tanner.
Right. Yeah, but here's the thing: is that we don't have a lot of hip hop artists. Or rap artists on this show, and I don't even know how to broach the subject because, like you, good sir,
dead inside,
Camaro Kev, not dead inside, but I don't know a lot about hip hop,
right?
I don't know a lot about rap, and so yeah, I was a little bit nervous for that one, but he couldn't have been a nicer guy. If you've noticed, I tried to crack a couple jokes, and they just kind of fall flat.
That's kind of a signature for your interviews, I've noticed, when I've listened in the past.
Oh, yeah, shut the fuck up. Fuck kind of like you, sir. Screw you in the face. Okay, well, we're going to wrap this episode up. We're going to go out with this song called Can't Hold Us by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. It's a great tune. I hope you guys enjoy it. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you for downloading the show. You can find Stack of Dimes at stackofdimes.com, also on iTunes.
And also, if you're a knucklehead like me and you like the whole MMA boxing, kickboxing scene, I have a podcast called Kicking and Zubas.
Yeah, go check that out. It's a good show. It's a good show, man.
Kickingandzubas.com.
Yeah.
Z-U-B-A-Z.
There it is. And you can find us at air-raid.net, also on the all-new CairoRadio.com and MyNorthwest.com. Go share some love. Share some love with us on iTunes. You can find Stack of Dimes there, Kicking and Zubas there.
All that.
Go and rate and review the show. Actually, just rate it. Just rate it.
That's what I always say.
Takes 5 seconds.
Click some of the stars.
Click some stars. If you like the show, give us a 5-star review. If you don't like it, give us a 5-star review. Done.
Good advice.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Right? It really helps us out in the long run, helps us continue to get guests like Camaro Kev and Macklemore on the show. So... we really appreciate it, everybody. Have a great week. This is Can't Hold Us by Macklemore, and we'll talk to you next time. Fuck that up. I did it wrong. I said it wrong. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the Fortrack busting. Halfway across that city with the back crush it. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country. Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night.